Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
This morning, saints of God, I've been waiting literally a couple of months to share this word with you. But it is going to be unleashed today. The assignment will be complete. This morning's title is going to be The Goshen Blessing. The Goshen Blessing. We're going to be reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 47. And we're reading several verses of scripture for the purpose of time. We're reading verse number 1, verse number 6, and then we're going to read verses 11 and 12. Genesis means the beginning. So it shouldn't be hard to find Genesis in your Bibles. If you have it, say amen. Amen. The Goshen Blessing. Genesis 47, starting at verse number 1, and the word of the Lord says, "Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, 'My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds, and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. And indeed, they are in the land of Goshen.'" Genesis 47, verse 6. "The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." Genesis 47, now we go down to verses 11 and 12. "And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread, according to the number in their families." Glory to God. Saints of the Most High, you may take your seats this morning in the presence of the living God. If you recalled earlier this year, we declared that the year 2024 is the year of the door. Yes, it rhymes, right? God is opening up doors in 2024. But more than just being a play on words and rhyming, it truly is the year where God is about to open up doors that no one else can open. And in addition to that, God is also going to close doors that no one was able to close before. And the reason why God closes doors sometimes is for our own benefit. A lot of times when a door closes, we start manifesting. We start acting up. We start saying, "Why is this happening to me?" And we don't realize that had God not closed that door, we would have wrecked ourselves. Sometimes that very open door that you thought was open for you and that God had to slam it shut, that could have been the demise of your family, the demise of your household, the demise of your spirit, your walk with the Lord. Sometimes God has to close doors for our own benefit and our own protection. A closed door is not always a curse or a downgrade. Hallelujah. A closed door sometimes is so that God can open up a new door. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. When God opens the doors, the new doors, we as his children must be ready and able to walk through the doors. glory to God. The same as the closed doors that might be for preparation, sometimes those closed doors are for seasons. It may be a season of preparation, a season to develop as a community or to become one in the spirit with the living God. That means to take the focus on the thing that was closed and start refocusing on the things that are about to be open in your life. If God closes one door, it's because he's opening another door. There's a time approaching, saints of the Most High God. And we have to understand that this time in this house is already upon us. It's a season of great blessing, a season of plenty, and a season of prosperity. And I'm not talking about no prosperity gospel for those that think of that nonsense. But I'm telling you that God is going to allow his people to experience together the blessing, the Goshen experience, the blessings of Goshen, the season of favor in the presence of the Lord. We're going to experience a time of thriving in a time when others are just surviving. Amen? That means God's going to allow you to rise up above circumstances that you never thought you would rise above. Praise God. Why? Because there has been a renewing of your mind. There has been a reconditioning of your thinking. There's been a newness in your spirit where you're not starting to think like you used to think. You got rid of the stinking thinking patterns. And now you're starting to say, hey, wait a minute. I'm a child of the Most High God. Hey, wait a minute. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hey, wait a minute. I'm an overcomer. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And no good thing will the Lord withhold from me. We've got to start understanding. I'm a king and I'm a priest. I'm a queen and I'm a priest. I'm a child of royalty. I'm a child of inheritance. But that doesn't mean I'm not a servant. You see, because sometimes it goes to our head. We become children of royalty. We become children, kings and priests, and queens and priests, and we start saying, I've arrived. I'm more one than anyone. I'm the man. It's funny, but that's what happens in the body of Christ. I got to say this more and more and more. For those that have entered into leadership, you have entered into slavery. I don't want to just say servanthood because that's too easy. I'm saying slavery. I'm a bond servant of Christ. That means you don't get your own will anymore. You give up your will. You become a servant. When we hear the word slavery, what's he talking about? You know, we've been oppressed for 400. You weren't oppressed at all. Your ancestors were oppressed. Get over yourself in the name of Jesus. Stop living in victimhood mentality. In the name, I'm telling you the truth. We got too many victims in the body of Christ. Too much victimhood. I get so tired of it. And I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm not trying to step on toes. Can you imagine if we had White History Month?
You gotta say that.
I'm just saying. No, no. Think about that. Right? White History Month. Because you know I'm telling the truth. You see, you hear it in the spirit. Let me tell you something. The devil is deceiving even the people of God. And the people of God get to some level or some plateau where they forget servanthood. Jesus said, he that wishes to be greatest among you shall be your servant. He shall be the lowest. Listen, this is not something new. This is James of the Sons of Thunder. Their mother came in and said, which one? Right after he said, listen, I'm going to be going to Jerusalem, and over there they're going to put me to death. I'm going to be handed over to the Romans, and I'm going to be crucified. They're going to kill me, and in 3 days I'm going to die. and raise again. Do you know what she asked him? Which one of my sons is going to take your place? Which one of my two sons is going to sit at the right hand of you? They're already looking at the next level of command, the next leader. He just said, I'm going to be put to death. And the mother, God bless her soul, right? She says, which one of my kids is going to be seated at your right hand? But listen to the answer. The Lord said, it is not mine to give them the left or the right, but my Father in heaven. Are your sons able to drink the cup of my, are they able to drink my cup? And listen what she said. Yes, they're able to drink your cup. And you know what his answer was? You're right, woman. They will drink the cup. They will drink the cup. But it is not mine to give them that seat. That seat belongs to my Father in heaven. And did you know her two sons died martyrs' deaths? We got to be careful of what we ask the Father because of selfishness or because of identity. Can you imagine? If I become the next pastor, if I become the next minister, if I become the next worship leader, man, they're going to think so highly of me. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to be the woman. I'm going to be Miss Thing with a chicken wing. I'm going to be all that and a bag of chips. God wants you to thrive. He said, I've come to give you life and that more. He wants you to thrive. It's not doing God any justice to see you broke like a joke. I'm telling you the truth. God gets no glory from a broke Christian. I'll say it. God gets no glory for a welfare Christian. Because you ain't spiritual. Huh? That's why. Here's the thing. There comes a time where we've got to put in the work. Amen. The labor of your hands. God can't bless nothing. He's got to bless something. What you give, he adds to it. And he multiplies and he prunes and he develops and he encourages. And he gives you wisdom and strategy. And he blesses the fruit of your hands. But for those that are waiting for the fairy to come and give it, here. There goes your job. There goes your $10,000 check that you didn't earn. You see what I'm saying? There comes a time when the body of Christ has to understand, man, listen, I may not have much, but I'm blessed. Hallelujah. What I have, what the Lord has given me, I'm blessed. We hear about the blessing, the favor of God. Everybody wants the blessing, but they don't want to put in the work. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. And there's only one place to get there. Today we're going to hear about the land of Goshen, the blessing, the land of plenty, the very best of the land, the very best provision from God, especially in a time where there was great famine in the land. What is the biblical significance of the land of Goshen? Well, I want you to follow with me this morning. I'm going to give somewhat of a historical background. I'm going to paraphrase for the purpose of time, but I'm going to try to bring you right up to speed so that you understand where we are right now as a church and how the land of Goshen is a parallel to what we are experiencing at the very precise moment that we're sitting in this room right now. Amen? How many believe that with me? The land of Goshen is a land where Israel thrived and lived for over 400 years. Goshen literally means a place to draw near, a place of comfort, a place of preparation, a land of plenty, and a land of protection. Praise the living God. It starts here with the story of Joseph. Many of you know this story, but we know Joseph's father, Jacob, who is also known as Israel. He had 12 sons. You could read the whole summary, Genesis 37, all the way to the last book, chapter 50. You hear the whole story of Joseph and how God used his situation to save Israel. One of Jacob's sons was named Joseph. And God used him to save his people. Some of you know this, but Joseph was considered a dreamer. He had two dreams, and I'm going to give them to you really quick. One of the dreams was that he saw his brothers and him in the field, and there was a sheaf, and all the other brothers' sheaves, that's the big pieces of wheat thing that they stand up in a pile. It says that his sheaf was standing, and all the other brothers, their sheaves literally bent over and bowed down like to honor Joseph's sheep, a sheaf. And then Joseph told his brothers the dream. How many know sometimes you can't tell your dreams to people? Because they became haters. And the Bible says they despised him from that moment. They started calling him a dreamer. And then he had another dream. And this time he says that the stars, the moon, the sun, the everything, the planets, everything in space literally bowed down to him. And his father included. He said, you, all of you bowed down to me. And they hated him, and they coveted him, and they envied him, and they despised him. But the father kept it in his heart. They were all upset with him. But the brothers, of course, they said, we know how to fix this. We're going to take our brother. When we go out to work, we're going to take him and sell him. We're going to sell him to slavery. And they did. They threw him in a pit. They left him for dead. And a caravan came and found him and took him and put him into slavery. They brought him into Egypt. That was free travel to the destination that God was going to use. You see, sometimes we think that we're all busted up. I can't believe it. I'm in a jail cell. I'm in prison. You got free. You got Spirit Airlines, the worst airlines on planet Earth. You got the worst airline trip to Egypt. Don't ever fly Spirit. They're terrible. Horrible airlines. The worst. But he got to Egypt for free. And the Bible says that God still gave him favor. And he became one of those in the palace with the Pharaoh. And Potiphar was his name. Potiphar had a wife who was a hoochie. A hoochie mama. For lack of other words. And she tried to seduce him because Joseph was a very young, handsome, intelligent young man. He was a catch. But she couldn't catch him. Because as fine as he was, as beautiful as he was, as intelligent as he was, he knew, if I stay here, it's a wrap, baby. Because Joseph knew what the word said. Can a man scoop fire onto his lap and not get burned? See, some of us play with fire, and then when we get burnt, now we got a problem. And now, you know, there could be little issues. And then these problems start to create other problems. Oh, you're pregnant? I'll tell you what. Here's $300. Let's take care. Nobody has to know nothing. Consequences, problems. Praise God for those that are sticking it through. Hallelujah. with the shame and all the stuff, listen, it's the best decision you will ever make. God will honor you. You will have Goshen blessing and Goshen favor on your life for the rest of your life because of honoring God. Listen, it's Him that has the right to give life and to take life, not us. Amen? And even for those that might have made that decision, there's healing for you today. There's deliverance for you today. Because even still, God loves you and is still prepared to forgive you. Potiphar's wife. And what did he do? He jetted. And he still ended up in prison. Because she was like, all right, if I can't have you, can't nobody have you. She went rip. She ripped her clothing and went to her husband. Look what your servant Joseph did to me. He was trying to seduce me. And he was thrown in prison. And right there, he could have said, oh, God, what's going on? But it was in prison that he interpreted a dream. And it was in prison that he met up with two people. One of them was the king's cupbearer. You see, sometimes God is taking you to different places, and the relationships that you're getting to know, even while you're in the fango, the mud in your hole, you're in the pit, but it's in these seasons when you continue to glorify God, and when you continue to live with integrity, and when you continue to live knowing this is not the end. Hallelujah. This is just a pathway to the promise. I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who it is today. But it was there that he was able to interpret the dream. And then the brother that he interpreted the dream forgot about him for 2 more years. And ultimately, it got back to the Pharaoh. Hey, there's a dude that interprets dreams to the letter. But he happens to be in a prison. And there was a dream that the Pharaoh had that was tormenting him. He said, I've got to have this dream translated. So, of course, he comes out of prison. He interprets the king's dream. And I'm not going too crazy with this because it's in the Bible. You're going to have to read this. But he said, there was a dream with cows and all this other stuff. He said, the 7 years of blessing. There's going to be 7 years of blessing in the land of Egypt. And then there's going to be 7 years of extreme famine and death and pestilence and plague. And God wants you to know that he has sent me here to tell you. God brought me to your kingdom because he loves you and he wants to protect your people. What he didn't know was that in that same blessing, Israel was going to be protected as well. But God said to take from the 7 years of plenty and put it away. Start storing for yourself a piece or a tithe of all the blessing that God has given you. Put it aside because in the year of famine that is about to come, Egypt is going to be a resource for the entire region that when everybody else is dying, you're going to not only be able to be saved, but you're going to help others as well. Pharaoh, I'm ready to turn off my watch. Hallelujah. Pharaoh then promoted Joseph to the second in command. There goes his hoochie mama trying to chase him. Hallelujah. He became the second in command of all of Egypt. When the famine hit the land, Jacob, back then, he was suffering. His kids were suffering. They needed food. They all went to Egypt. He sent his kids to Egypt to get food and grain and anything that they could for the family to survive. And they did not know that it was Joseph, the son that they threw in the hole, that they threw him out as garbage. They didn't realize that it was going to be Joseph would be the one to help the family, to feed them, and to bring them into the land of blessing. Ultimately, as we know, Joseph reveals himself to his family. He forgives them for what he did, for what they did to him. And he convinces the entire family, it's time for you guys to stop being broke, to stop being desperate. Come into the land of promise. Allow the blessings of God to overtake you. He convinces them to move into the land of Goshen. Amen. The Bible says when they arrived, Joseph, we read earlier, he tells a Pharaoh, my family is here with their goats, with their cows, with their children, with their tents, with everything. They left everything and came here. And Pharaoh said, give them the most fertile of the land. Give them the best of Egypt. Listen, when you work on the behalf of the Lord and you start blessing those that you might think are lords over you, and when you start to bless them, they start to treat you like family. They start to treat you with the blessing, with the favor, with the inheritance that they have to give. God will sometimes use even your enemies to bless you. They come to the Nile, the eastern part of the Nile Delta, a land called Goshen. It's a place where they could not only live, but a place where they're going to thrive. It was among the most richest and fertile land in the entire region. It wasn't just a little place that they could call home. It was a fertile ground. If you look at Egypt, that dry, barren desert wasteland. Then you look here, you got rivers, you got trees, you got plants, you've got all, and you got the big Nile to divide between the two. God is in that. God is in that. Let me tell you why. Listen, it's very important that you understand this. Yes, it was a rich land. Yes, it was a fertile land. There was much territory. But you know why they were put in that best land? Because Egypt hated shepherds. Egypt hated sheep and cattle and animals. And even though they needed it to live, but shepherding was like an abomination to the Egyptians. That's found in Genesis 46, 34. For those that are taking notes, Pharaoh not only told them, come with your sheep and your cattle and go here, but you know what? Take my own livestock. Take the Pharaoh's animals and take all of these pesky animals that bring flies and all kinds of stuff to my neighborhood. Take them with you and put people that are seasoned and skilled in shepherding livestock and let them be rulers over my own flock. And what were Joseph's brothers? They were shepherds. So Israel now is in the most fertile of the land, and they're enjoying the most prime meat and wool for clothing and blankets, and they have water they could draw from right from the little rivers there. They had flowers and everything to grow. They were in a time of blessed provision in the time of great famine and plague that was in the land of Israel, of Egypt. Israel was in charge of the food. That means Israel is eating the choicest food of the land. They had the best clothing, the best of the best. God said that he was going to bless his people. He made a covenant with Abraham that he was going to bring his people to a fertile land where they will be blessed. Glory to God. Genesis 45:10. And God purposed this land for Israel. He said, you will have the best of the land. Goshen became a land where Israel prospered and thrived. Hallelujah. But listen, there's more. Exodus 1:7. Listen to this. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. That means even while they were blessed, they were able to have children. They were able to multiply. They were to increase so greatly that ultimately, years later, of course, Egypt became afraid of Israel. We'll get there in a little while. Many generations later, as they began to be fearful of those that they let in their own land, Now a new Pharaoh arose. The other Pharaoh died. A new Pharaoh arose. Exodus 1:8. It says that the new Pharaoh did not know Joseph. And now the Egyptians began to use slavery to oppress God's people. Of course, we know the continuation of the story. God eventually raised up a leader. His name was Moses. And he used Moses to deliver his people out of bondage. And God used plagues as a process of liberating his people. You know that there were 10 plagues. By the very fourth plague, listen to this, Exodus 8:22, and in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. Glory to God. Why is this important? I am so glad you asked that question. Because this means that God is placing his own people under the divine protection of God. Israel was going to be exempt from the plagues that was going to persecute the Egyptians. Goshen was a place where Israel's family was to be reconciled to one another. Goshen was a place that provided sustenance in a time of famine and plague and pestilence and even danger. This is the reason. I'm going to give you three of them this morning. Number one, Goshen is a place of separation. The Egyptians hated the shepherds and hated all those who worshipped the true living God. You know that the Egyptians worship multiple gods, all false gods, gods with eyes that couldn't see, gods with ears that couldn't hear, gods with mouths that couldn't speak, gods with hands and legs that couldn't touch or move, false gods. But they hated those that worshiped the real God. But even the Egyptians needed shepherds to maintain their food supply. So even the enemies needed their enemies to take care of their needs. Goshen was a land that separated the people of God from the rest of the population. Look at how good God is. God put them in Goshen to protect Israel from the culture of Egypt, so they wouldn't be surrounded by Baal and Nimrod and all these other false gods. They wouldn't be put in the position where they would have to walk past an idol and have to bow down or else die. God put them so far away that they could do what they do best, shepherd. That they could do what they do best, cultivate. That they could do what they do best, worship the living God. God blessed them so they could continue to serve the Lord in peace. And it prevented them from losing their own identity as the chosen people of God. They were allowed to live in a land where they could thrive when everyone else was dying around them. What a divine strategy of God. Listen to this, Genesis 43:32. So they set him in a place by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. You see, God separated them, hallelujah, so that they could continue to be in the blessing, in the favor, in the provision of God, while at the same time preserving their community, their identity, and their oneness in the things of the Lord. Goshen is a place where God is separating his people for further ministerial prowess, if you will. Goshen is a place where we return as a family one to another, to be reconciled to one another, to be one in the spirit. Glory to God. Goshen is a place, hallelujah, where we can have a time of sincere repentance, a place of sincere forgiveness, a place of examination and contemplation. It's a place for us where the blessing of God will start to search our heart, and it would require us to consecrate before Him so that we could be prepared for the next stage in our life. Say this out loud with me. Separation is for preparation. Say this with me. Isolation is not separation. There's a complete difference. Amen. When God separates you, He is separating you to be holy. To be separate is to be holy. God is separating you for other beautiful things. What happens is a lot of times people step on our new Adidas. And we get offended and we say, I'm done with Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. I'm out of here. And I ain't even leaving a text message for the pastor. Even though the pastor didn't step on my sneaker. But I'm out of here. I ain't even coming back. Then the pastor starts texting you. Hey, what's going on? How come you're not here? I miss you. Miss you. Or they, my sister Daisy, when she was young, she used to go. Remember Daisy? She used to do that. She used to roll her head. She did that one time to my mother. She went. My mother went. And she never did that again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mischief is in the heart of every child, but the rod of correction drives it far from them. Hallelujah. You better recognize. Hallelujah. But it's amazing how people get so easily offended. And it's not even, you know, one person. It might be one person, not the whole body. They're not offended at the word. They're not offended. One person. And they're ready to bounce. No signals, no email, no phone call, no text message, not even a smoke signal. You know when the Indians go. They don't even send smoke signals. Isolation is of the devil. To be isolated is to remove yourself from the connection of the brethren, the connection of the body, is to isolate yourself and to start allowing the anxiety and all the other stuff that comes with isolation to start creeping into your spirit. When you start to isolate, I'm not going to this event. I ain't going to go to this one. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going to go to this. I ain't going to go to that. You're isolating yourself from the brethren. And you are being used by the enemy to be a further distraction and discord to the rest of the body. And then when people reach out to you, all you do is complain. And then you wonder why nobody wants to call you, why nobody wants to invite you to their parties, why nobody wants to be around you. It's because you got a stank attitude. If you don't know me by now, you will never, never. No, all right, praise God. Some of y'all might backslide with that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Paul. You see, sometimes God has to strip us of material possessions. Sometimes God has to strip us of friendships. Sometimes God has to strip you from a career. Sometimes God has to strip you from habits and vices and different things so that you could return to Him. If you can't handle the time of separation, how will you ever handle the time of blessing? In order for a masterpiece to come forward, the hammer and the chisel has to be put into action. Bing, bing, bing. And some of you got to go boom, boom. The best thing that has ever happened to this house is when we were asked to move. We weren't even asked. We were kicked out. I went to the court and asked for time. And you know what the judge said? You got 14 days, Papa. Get out. Zero, Papa. Zero love for you today, Papa. Do you know how much of a challenge that was for me? To have nowhere to go, nowhere to put all of our stuff that we've saved for. Your tithes and offerings have paid for those chairs, have paid for the equipment, paid for all this stuff. Your money. Where are we going to put all this, Lord? Do you know how much of a challenge it was for me to hear those words? You got 14 days. And I said, thank you, Your Honor. God bless you and God bless our community. You know how much it took me to say that? God bless you. May the favor of God be upon your life. God bless you. Thank you to the lawyer that was throwing the axe. If you don't take what we got to give you, you're going to be out in 2 days. We'll have the marshals come out and kick you out. God bless you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You don't understand the level it takes to be in this office. All right? The best thing that ever happened to this house is leaving that building. Do you know why? We outgrew it in 2 months. We already were outgrowing that building. We can't even fit in that building. God is taking us out of small-minded thinking, taking us out of the little so we would be ready for the big. But we can't be ready for the big if we don't pick up a chair at the end of service. Oh, I'm getting into some Kool-Aid now. Well. Do you know that this time is a time of separation for community to be built up? It's a time for us to love on each other. There was a time, 8 years, at the beginning of our church, for 8 years, some of you in this room are part of that. For the first 8 years, we picked up every week. Brother Angel was there from the very beginning. We would pick up screens, computers, chairs, everything. We would put on music. We would set up. We would break down. We would have coffee together. We would have fellowship together. We built up a community for 8 years. And then when we got our first building, people didn't know how to act. We had a church of 65 people on the very first Sunday. It was December 4th. I'm never going to forget this as long as I live. On December 4th, people came to the new building where we had just started. First day. We didn't even have our first service here. People brought in paint. They brought in curtains. They brought in stuff. There were some people that brought a Christmas tree, and they dumped a whole bunch of ornaments on the pulpit and started decorating a Christmas tree. And I said, I'm sorry, we don't roll like that here. I'm sorry, I don't want no Christmas tree on our pulpit. Sorry. Pack it up, but pastor, blah, blah, blah. This one said I could bring it. This one said, I said, no. I'm telling you, no. Do you know, in 2 weeks, 32 people left our church. It was a split, just like that. We weren't even in there a month. And then people were like, I want to do this. I want to do it. I said, listen, we don't even know. It's $8,000 to pay the mortgage, the bill in the month. That's not including gas, utilities, insurance, electric. Not, it's just $8,000 just to be here. We only got 30 people. You do the math. Let's do a spending freeze. For 3 months, let's see if we can even afford to be here. We have to deal with that because we don't know how to act. And I remember preaching with a whole bunch of empty seats. Sometimes things are not going to go your way. Even when God is trying to bless you, just deal with it. God is trying to bless you, and all we're busy doing is worrying about our agenda, our stuff. Pastor doesn't want to do it. Pastor doesn't want to do it. He's so rude. He's so crude. God Almighty, help us, oh Lord. I'm going to move on. It forces us to trust God. It forces us to lean upon the Lord. It forces us to learn to trust in the Lordship of Jesus. It forces us now to come together as a community. This move is going to allow us to see how God is still in complete control of this house. It's not me. It's not Pastor Francis. It's not Pastor Daisy. And it's not my soul brother, number one, Pastor Shadrach. I miss that brother. But it makes us now become a better steward of every single thing that we have. I'm going to say this, and I hope the board doesn't beat me up for this, but I'm going to say this because it needs to be said. People don't understand that since we moved into this beautiful, precious barn, which is a total blessing, our expenses as a church has been cut in half. It's the truth. We're here 4 Sundays a month, and if there's a snow day, 3 Sundays a month. That's it. Remember, at the old building, we had Wednesday services, we had prayer services, we had other meetings, we had Joshua Tribe, we had the youth, we had so many other outreaches, breakfast times. You know, do you know that every time we do a breakfast or every time we do an event, we got to pay? We didn't have to do that when we had our building. So now everything is cut, and by the grace of God, by the favor of God, we still survive. Hallelujah. We're still thriving as a church. It's a miracle. Praise God. We're able to still do community stuff, fellowship events. We're still able to do these things. Praise God. But we see this. You know, if there's a snow day, the reality is people don't think of sending in a tithe or an offering. They say, praise God, I don't have to give anything today. Blessings of the Lord. Praise God. Am I telling the truth? This is why it's a blessing to have complete reliance in Jesus. Why? Because now we know that we are in prime position for miracles. Miracles! You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Saints of God, we have to embrace the season that we're in, though sometimes it may seem tough, but the vision will not tarry. Habakkuk 2:3, it says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry." There are people that are sitting idly by, waiting for the collapse of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. There are others that are praying for the collapse of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. I hate to break it to you. This is not Albert's church. This is God's house. As long as we love Jesus, as long as we serve the Lord in spirit and truth, we're not going anywhere. Amen. Amen. We're just in the part of time. Yes. There is seed, there is time, and then there is harvest. And praise God, while we're in this season, we have planted our seeds. Now we're in the time. We're in the middle of the blessing. I encourage you to not covet or envy anyone else. Don't covet other people, other churches, other buildings, other pastors. Don't covet anything. Don't covet anyone. Our time will come. People could look at you and laugh. They could say you're going to a dead church. They could say whatever they want. Keep your head up high. Hallelujah. Know that you're in the land of Goshen. This is a season where God is blessing you. He's preparing you. Some Some of you in this room are the pastors of tomorrow. Some of you in this room are the worship team. Some of you are the dancers. Some of you are the children's leaders. Some of you are board members. Some of you are doing great things. There's some new ministries that are about to be birthed right from this very room. Submit to the process. Submit to the process. I have to move on now. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. James 4, 7 through 10. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Listen, crisis and discomfort prepare you for your Goshen experience. Sometimes you have to be made uncomfortable, otherwise you will never move forward. Listen, I'm a Crocs man. I don't have Crocs today because I don't have brown Crocs. But I'm usually in Crocs. I preach in Crocs. I know they're an ugly, hideous shoe. But they're the most comfortable. Can I get an amen for my Croc lovers up in here? Praise God. If you've never worked or walked in a pair of Crocs, you're missing it. Praise God. But there's one complaint that I have about Crocs. And you Croc lovers know what I'm going to talk about. If you ever walk on gravel, for some reason, gravel, the little pebbles somehow get inside of the Croc. How does that happen? No, but there's holes. I don't know how. It always gets on the heel. And I'm a big boy. So when I walk on Crocs, I go, ah. And I have to literally stop. Hold up, peeps. I got to take off my Croc and shake it out and put my foot back in and get the party going again. Hallelujah. But listen, you know why? Because sometimes that little pebble is enough to take you off course. That little pebble that gets in the way gets you off course. And if you don't stop and take it out, if you don't stop, then you're going to remain uncomfortable. So many people want to remain uncomfortable and walk around with rocks and pebbles in their shoe. Sometimes you got to get up. Hallelujah. How many have ever sat down on a lazy chair and did not have the lazy remote nearby? And then you're going, and instead of just getting up and turning on the TV, you're like, you spend 10 minutes looking for the remote when all you had to do was just go, dook. Or I say, honey, what? Come here, woman. Baby, where's the remote? And she's like, bro, really, bro? It's right here. Toma. It's amazing. Guys, we don't see, man. We have eyes, but sometimes we don't see nothing. There's times I'm looking for the ketchup, and I'm like, babe, where's the ketchup? Where's the mayonnaise? Ain't there any mayonnaise up in here? She goes, bro, you're kidding me, right? Where is it? It's right in front of you. No, it's not. I've been here for 5 minutes. I can't see it. And she goes, bro. She moved the milk and goes, there it is right there. Am I the only man in the house? Hallelujah. Goshen is a land of provision. I'm going to move quickly. Praise God. Goshen is a land of provision. Provision, not just physical, but spiritual. Let me give you some scriptures here. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:19. And God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 37:25, it says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging for bread. Brother Gio mentioned this earlier, Psalm 6:31-33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. You see, the problem is there's too much worry in the body of Christ. so much worry and so little prayer. If God says that he's going to supply your needs, then why are you troubled? Psalm 34:10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 84:11, I love this verse. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Listen to this. Hallelujah. There's a play on words, but you got to hear it. When worrying prevails, complaining entails. Hallelujah. Complainers aren't maintainers or sustainers. They're just drainers. You got to get the tape. Hallelujah. Have you ever been around a chronic complainer? Oh, my God. It's the worst. I have people in my life that I love dearly, but I just can't be around them. The minute you mention politics, rant, 45 minutes, rant. And the F-bombs come out in the whole nine. I ain't trying to hear that. This land is so terrible, blah, 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 blah. You understand? When you're around a chronic complainer, when you're done, you almost feel like you got to take a shower. You feel dirty, right? Because it's just like, oh, like, bro, like, stop it already. It's dirty in here. Just like in the wilderness, God provided every single need, and they still complained. It was better when we were in Egypt. It was better in Egypt. Listen, God will bless you, and he will make all grace abound toward you, and he will bless you. But you've got to stop the negativity and the complaining. If you want God to accomplish his own will in your life, you've got to stop complaining. Here are some benefits, and I'm going to go through them quickly. Praise God. You know what? I'm going to just put them all up on the board. Praise God, so you could see them. Hallelujah. There you go. Praise God. Let me just go through these. There are some benefits of dwelling in the land of Goshen. Here are 10 benefits. Number one, safety and protection. That means you're safe from all harm. There's supernatural provision. Even when everybody else is struggling, God's going to provide your needs. There's going to be miracles. You're going to see miracles take place in your life and in your children and your family. There's going to be growth and increase. You're going to grow spiritually, and for some, you're going to grow emotionally. You're going to stop eating baby food. Divine guidance and spiritual growth. God is going to guide you and mature you in your relationship with him. You're going to encounter God's presence. That means God's presence like you've never seen or experienced in such powerful ways is going to start happening in your life. You're going to learn to trust God. You're going to learn to draw closer to God. You're going to experience God's peace when everyone else around you is complaining. You're going to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It's a beautiful thing. You're going to become part of a community. So that means not only are you going to experience this, but everyone around you is going to experience this. And now you have a common thread of blessing about everyone that you're around. They're going to be able to understand. My final point, number three, Goshen is going to be a place of protection. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Glory to God. Look at this, Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God. I will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Listen, if you know that God is going to hold your right hand and walk you through the storms of your life, why would you fret? Why would you worry? Why would you doubt? When the Lord says, listen to me, I'm going to walk with you through this storm. I'm going to take you and hold you in my right hand. I'm going to walk with you. You're not going to be alone. You're not going to be lonely. You're going to be blessed, and I'm going to walk with you. God's going to protect you even in the presence of your enemies. I love the psalmist David because he always wrote about the protection of God. Look at this in Psalm 3:6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Why? Because he knows there's people already covering him. There's a hedge of God's angels around him. Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Psalm 91, 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Why? Because he's going to bless you in the land of Goshen. If you don't complain, people will fall by the wayside, but it will not get you. The flies will be away from your dwelling. The plagues will be away from you. Hallelujah. Listen, here's another word to encourage you. Exodus 9:26. It says, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. You remember when God sent hail with fire to burn up villages, burn up everything. But Israel was protected because the land of Goshen was exempt. What did he protect them from? Here's another thing. Death. Remember the plague, the final plague, the death of the firstborn in all of Egypt. God kept them even from death. The blood of the Lamb kept the spirit of death from them. It passed over their dwelling when they heard the cries and the laments of all of Egypt, crying over their sons, crying over their daughters, crying over their firstborn. Israel was inside of their houses safe and sound, eating the food of the Passover. Even in the time of famine, when the time of death and destruction and the wrath of God comes upon the land, God says he's going to keep us from the hour of trial. Because you have kept my command to persevere, Revelation 3:10, it says, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. In closing, we must be able to see the hand of the Lord upon this house. Saints of God, I said it this morning in our time of prayer. I'm going to say it to you now. We are in the season of separation and preparation. God has brought you, your house, your family, your people to the land of Goshen. We are in the land of Goshen as Sole Purpose Evangelical Church. We're not in the land of Lodabar. Lodabar is a place of suffering and sickness and death. But God is blessing us. Yes. We don't have a home of our own, but we're in a blessed land. God has not left us as orphans. God has provided our need, and God has blessed the owners of this house so they could bless our house. And God blesses your house so you can bless your children. And God blesses your children so they could bless their bosses. Do you know that your children's bosses are blessed because your children are part of the job? It's not the other way around. Your boss, you tell your children, your boss is blessed because you need a job, and God has to bless them so that they can bless you, so that you can bless the house. Just because you're in people's lives, they're blessed. You're part of the blessing. God allows us to stay together, to assemble in safety with provision and protection. And those who mean evil against us, the judge, the lawyers that said, hey, you got to get out, you got to get out. God bless you. May the peace of God be upon you. May God bless you and your family. May the time of refreshing come upon you. Because I know the Bible says, he that refreshes others will himself be refreshed. God is knitting us together as community. He's establishing relationships with influencers. Listen, in this season of separation, I've met judges, I've met mayors, I've met councilmen, I've met chief officers of our community. God is putting people in our path. I'm not even looking to meet them. They're just coming into my circle of influence, and I'm entering into theirs. God is preparing Soul Purpose Evangelical Church to enter into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Goshen, though it was fertile and rich, it was not forever. It was a pathway to the promised land. Israel had their pathway to their own state, their own nation, their own dwelling, and no one can kick them out of there. They could see it. Listen, this is the beauty of this, and I don't want you to miss this. I know we're over, but listen carefully. When Israel was in the land of Goshen, they literally were able to see with their own eyes Canaan land. It was just right across the River Nile Delta. And for 400 years, while they were in preparation for the land of blessing, they were able to see it right across the river. The very land of covenant, the land of promise that was sworn by God to Abraham. I got to tell you this, praise God, and I'm going to say this in the fear and trembling of the Lord. I hope the board is not mad at me, but I'm going to say it because I want you to see this. The reason why Israel had been delayed was because they began to complain. Murmuring delays the favor of God. While they were able to see the land, many of them did not enter the land. The kids died off. The parents died off. The kids got in. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that I believe in the promised land that God has for Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. I believe and I have faith that our next dwelling is going to be our place of inheritance, our own promised land. And I'm going to tell you this by the Spirit of the living God, and I'm not going to give much more information, but each and every week as we drive back home from this very place that you are seated in right now, there are 10 acres of land that is our inheritance. You don't know it, but you drive right by it every single week. In fact, today, as you leave this place, you on your way home are going to drive by the next inheritance of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. I believe that the Lord is going to rise a building right from the ground up. He's going to lift up a building out of 10 acres, and they will never be able to kick us out again. We're not going to rent anymore. We're not going to lease anymore. We're going to own. I'm claiming that. And you're going to see what we've been praying for. We're in Goshen. We're here now. Some of you think this is not great. This is a bad thing. We got to move chairs everywhere. We got to set up tables. Listen, this is the blessing. We're blessed. Hallelujah. And we're to be a blessing to this house. We're to bless the owners of this house. We're to bless those that have blessed us. We're to refresh others. In a season where there's a lack for others, you and I should be the ones sharing our portion with others. Stop being stingy. Bless others. Because if you are faithful in the little, God is going to make you faithful in the great. God is preparing the land of Goshen, the land of Canaan land, for this house. So I say to you, stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Stop backbiting. Don't delay the blessing, please. If you don't believe, then that's on you. At least keep it in your own spirit. Don't let it out of your mouth. But for those of us that are ready to walk into the land of promise, we're going to see. And I'm closing with this, and I'm doing this quickly. Five quick tips to experience Goshen blessings in your own family, in your own house. Number one, obey the Lord. Write this down, Deuteronomy 28. There are blessings for your obedience. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be blessed when you go in, blessed when you go out. Read that. It's going to bless you. Number two, be diligent in your work. So let's say this. If you don't have a job, get a job. Hallelujah. If you're not working, start working with your hands and let God bless the fruit of your labor. I wish I had more time to work on that one. Maybe I'll do it next week. Hallelujah. Three, be thankful always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Turn your pouting into praise. Like I said earlier, number four, share with others in need. What good is it if you have the ability to bless somebody and you withhold the blessing? What good is your faith? What good is their faith? It's a dead faith. So if you have been blessed, bless others. Don't hoard in a time of sorrow. And finally, do not fear. Do not worry. Do not be dismayed. In the time of season when God is blessing you, learn to serve, learn to grow, to mature, to prepare yourself. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God bless you, saints of the Most High, living God.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.